there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Andrea Lorien, one of the producers on Vermont Edition. And I wanted to let you know that what you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Short and sweet, right to the good stuff.
Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertlieb in for Michaela Lefrak, and summer is in full swing. Look, given the heat index today, I probably don't need to tell you that. In fact, today and tomorrow, we are expecting seriously hot temperatures and high humidity, my least favorite team up, with temperatures ready to reach into the mid-90s in parts of the state. So please keep plenty of water on hand and be careful not to exert yourself too much if you're out in the sun and not in the water. But the penchant for a sweet treat doesn't abate just because it's hot out. And if you're anything like me, you might be looking for the right place to score a good creamy. And maybe you'd like to share that Vermont classic, perhaps, with your dog. Well, if you are a dog person who likes creamies, we already know your dog does, we are fortunate to have Melissa Passanen with us today for some great human-canine creamy connections. Melissa is the food editor at 7 Days. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Always a delight, especially it's cooler in here than outside.
Isn't it? This is kind of nice, right? Like we could eat a creamy in here. It wouldn't be dripping all down our arm. Mm-hmm. Perfectly fine. It is summer. I am wondering, what are some of the best creamy spots to go to right now?
Well, everyone has their favorites, and I, of course, have mine. And we did last year take our grand dog, Mojo, who was visiting from Brooklyn with our son and his lovely girlfriend.
I've seen a picture. He's very cute. I can confirm.
So they went to Montreal for the weekend, and we had Mojo, and we took him to Parmalane Maple in Jericho, which is our favorite. And they have a doggy maple creamy with a little doggy biscuit on it. And like a good grand dog mama, I texted our son and Daisy, his girlfriend, and said, is it okay for Mojo to have? Because one of the things, I don't know about your dog, but some folks don't feed dairy to their dogs. There is some digestive issues sometimes. So
yeah, just like with humans. Some humans are lactose
intolerant.
You know?
That is very true. And there are more. We can talk about that. There are more non-dairy options on the creamy front than there ever have been.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
But anyway, Parmalane is one of my favorite, like for a classic maple creamy. They have those little maple crunchies that they put on it. Delish.
And where is that located?
That's in Jericho.
Yep. Okay. That sounds really good. Before we get into the whole lactose intolerant thing, what are some other places you'd recommend?
I mean, I'm also a big fan of Vermont Cookie Love in Ferrisburg. They do just a lovely job. And then they do those crunched cookies. They're lovely cookies on top if you want. Recently, I wrote a whole feature about Fancy's, a new restaurant in the Old North End, which I love. They happen to have a creamy machine. This is a thing in better restaurants these days because the new Frankie's, which is where Pennycloos was, also has a creamy machine.
Oh, wow.
Not something that you traditionally saw in a, you know, chef kind of run restaurant.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that's kind of an interesting trend. But Fancy's creamies are all an oat milk base because he does... I mean, his menu is very vegetarian, lots of vegan options, a little meat and fish, but mostly veggie. And he kind of just defaulted to an oat milk base. So if your dog or yourself has issues with dairy, go to Fancy's. And he has really interesting flavors. Like when we were there, we had an orange urfa. Urfa is a type of Middle Eastern kind of mild pepper.
How do you say that again? I'm sorry.
Urfa. Urfa. U-R-F-A.
Okay. Nice.
I believe it's traditionally Turkish. And we also had a miso caramel there that was so good. It has sort of that little bit of a savory undertone to balance the sweetness. And then I saw him post a toasted coconut with candied sesame seeds, which looked amazing.
That sounds amazing. I have to ask a bit of a controversial question here because you mentioned some of these creamies come with little crunchies on them or whatever. Is it still a creamy if you put something on top of it like that?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think so. I do think purists maybe don't agree with that. I'm not a sprinkles person. Like,
I am.
Sorry.
That's what I go for. I go for the chocolate sprinkles every time. With the chocolate vanilla, that's my go-to.
No maple?
No. It's too sweet for me.
Wow.
I know that sounds crazy, and I should be kicked out of Vermont for saying it. But no, it's the chocolate vanilla swirl with the chocolate sprinkles. That is my go-to creamy.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely a maple creamy gal.
I understand,
and I don't love super sweet either. So, but that's kind of where I make an exception. I will say one thing: I am a cup person because I think cones are generally a waste of my stomach space. However, The Cone at Red Hen in Middlesex, so Red Hen the bakery.
Sure.
Has a creamy window that was sort of a default that came out of the pandemic because they had a delivery window they created for or pickup window. And so then they have really delicious creamies with maple from like right down the road.
Oh, wow.
But their cone, they, I don't know if they're the only people, they're probably not the only people in the entire country, but they mill the flour fresh and make the cones fresh. And they are gorgeous.
Now you can tell the difference there. I mean, I'm like you actually with the cup, because I would rather have mine in a cup too, for various reasons. But you can tell when a cone isn't, you know, made for, like you said, for milled flour, it's going to have a different texture, a different kind of taste.
It's so good. It's like nutty and oh my gosh. Yes, I should, you can, I think, actually buy them to take home if you want. But
now, is Red Hen a place where you can take your dog or no? I think that, I remember that being an indoor.
Yeah, but the creamy window's outside.
Okay, okay.
And there is a whole outback area, that Camp Mead. So yep. I haven't taken a dog there, but I can't imagine you couldn't go get your creamy. And I don't remember them having a doggy-specific creamy, but a lot of people just get a small. I think people do try to minimize the amount of creamy. Oh, and my colleague Jordan Berry, 2 years ago, 2022, people can look this up on the 7 Days website, she did a story specifically about folks who do doggy creamies. And Lulu in Vergennes actually does a dairy-free dog-specific.
Oh, really?
I don't, it's not a creamy, but it's an ice cream. So for folks who are interested in that, was inspired by the owner's own little dog.
Now, before I had my current guy, Fezzik, who's my dog now, I had a dog named Grendel, whom I loved dearly. He was a mixed lab, and boy, did he love creamies. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we would have, you know, one of those ice cream trucks come through our neighborhood, as soon as he heard the bell, and he would hear it before anyone else because he's got dog ears, and I'm like, he would run outside, wag his tail, sit down, and wait for that ice cream truck to get there just so he could get one of these Frosty Paws treats, which is not a creamy. But, you know, it's, again, a non-dairy thing that, that dogs will eat. But he would also eat up a creamy. Like, if we had a little bit left, he would just gobble it right up.
What do you think it is, the cold or the sweetness?
I think it's the sweetness. I don't know. I mean, but what I wondered was if you've talked to because it seems more common that people will want to avoid giving their dogs dairy. Have you talked to veterinarians who say this is pretty common that dogs have a lactose intolerance thing?
So I didn't re-look up this article. I should have. Several years ago, I want to say maybe 4, I did a story. Ben and Jerry's had, and I'm not sure if they still do, doggy ice cream that they had developed.
Really?
And I do remember it. I believe it was sort of an offshoot of, I think it was right around when they had first were really doing vegan dairy-free ice creams. And I think they were using the same base, which I believe was oat, maybe cashew. I'm sure there's Ben and Jerry's people listening and they will correct us. But and I don't know if they still have it, but they literally were selling pints of dog-friendly ice cream. And at the time, I think it was like anything, you know your dog.
Right.
Make sure you're – I will say Mojo happily ate that ice cream, and I do not recall there being any issues.
No issues
after,
from that.
Or creamy. Yeah. I shouldn't say it wasn't ice cream. It was creamy. But as I said, I did carefully check with his parents. There is some sad news on the creamy front. The fans,
oh, no.
Many longtime fans of the Village Creamy Stand in Bristol probably already know that they are not opening again this year. 43 years that stand operated, but the kind of owner and figurehead of the family, Tom Wallace, who ran it with his family, passed away last fall, and they were planning on reopening, but then they shared on Facebook that it was just too hard.
Oh my, four decades. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Everybody has their favorite spots. You've mentioned Palmer's in Jericho, Cookie Love, Red Hen in Middlesex. I'm a fan of Al's Creamies. You know, that's a classic right down there on Williston Road.
And they have dairy-free now too.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I agree. I like Al's too. It's not the closest, but it's very close to where we live. And gosh, so many memories of going there after my kids' baseball games.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have family coming in, and you were mentioning that you've got family visiting, coming into town, if you had to pick like one place that you must visit for a creamy, what would it be?
So I did just write a story about Shelburne Farms, and that is pretty much if someone's coming in the summer or the fall, you just have to take them to Shelburne Farms. I mean, folks probably know it's a National Historic Landmark. And I mean, honestly, I
I lived in Vermont for 3 years, moved away, came back. I don't think I ever went to Shelburne Farms that first 3 years. I was in downtown Burlington. Husband was in grad school, but I don't think I even registered it. And now I'm like, how could I have not registered it? But and they actually, in terms of eating, I mean, you can just go and walk and go to the children's farmyard, and that's all lovely. But there are more ways to eat there than I think people are aware. So there's the beautiful dining room at the inn where you can make a reservation pretty far ahead and have this gorgeous sort of turn back time. You feel like you're in the 1900s, right? Late 1800s, early 1900s. But that's a big deal. It's costs a fair bit and it kind of feels formal. They're beautiful terrace and you can eat outside. But I really like to go there for breakfast, which is, you know, you can still be in that beautiful dining room, but you feel more like it's just part of my day. I'm like a guest at this elegant place. I also sometimes go there for drinks if I have guests and we haven't made a reservation. You have to go through, if you want to drive on, you have to go through the gate. And if they're too full, they won't. But they will often let you come in for drinks. And this year, new, they have picnic boxes that you can buy. So if you go in and you're just ordering drinks, you can also order a picnic box and just have it on that lawn. Beautiful. And then they also, folks may know this if they have kids and go with either their own kids or visiting kids to the children's farmyard, the farm barn. They have a farm cart there, which they've had for a number of years, and it has a really delicious burger made with farm-raised beef and grilled cheese, of course, made with Shelburne Farms cheddar, and salads from the market garden. And the story that I wrote, we actually walked after eating our vegetable hash, garden vegetable hash, I think, yeah, market garden vegetable hash. We went from there, we walked down to the market garden, and you can actually go and see where they're growing some of the ingredients. So that's really fun.
That's a full circle experience right there. Yeah. It kind of is, you know, that sounds wonderful. I hate to get off the topic of creamies, but I wonder if there are any exciting restaurants that have opened or maybe reopened that you'd like to tell us about?
Yeah, so there's some interesting things going on. I was recently in downtown Montpelier, which, as everyone knows, was really devastated by the flood last year, but it's really come back. And yeah, I think the traffic hasn't kind of come back of people. So it's such – I love that downtown. They have such quirky, wonderful little stores. I know that's not food, although I did visit a new little market, which is on Elm Street, called Taste of Europe, owned by two women, both originally from Bosnia. It has all sorts of specialties from Eastern Europe and Germany. That kind of area. So that was kind of fun. I had breakfast at a new spot called Filibuster that's in the old bank building that a long time ago, I think, was an Asiana house. And I went back to one of my favorite little places, Willow Wan's Kitchen, which is just such great, you know, Thai food. I had a really good stir fry. It was just delicious.
It seems like maybe, you know, folks are starting to come back a little bit from there. I mean, yeah, you're right. It was so devastating. And it's good to see more traffic coming
around.
Oh,
and speaking of ice cream.
Yeah.
So Enna, which is a deli, they took over Chill Gelato's equipment. So now she's offering gelato in the afternoon and evenings.
I love gelato. Mm-hmm. That's great. I'm also getting a note here from our producer that in East Montpelier, Morse Farms has some great creamies.
They do. They are one of the – and they're using their own maple syrup. Absolutely great.
Oh, their own maple syrup too. Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds wonderful. Anything else? Any closures? I hate that on a sad note that we should.
Yeah, I have one more opening that I'm pretty interested in.
Good, let's talk openings.
That's in this week's paper, so not it'll be out this afternoon online. It's a new Mediterranean Turkish restaurant called Kismet Mediterranean Grill, opening on Battery Street in Burlington. A family, a young man, Serkan Çetin, and his parents, Aveli and Nadia Çetin, and his uncle, Ali Varlik, and they're going to be bringing food from their native Turkey. So I'm pretty excited.
And what's the name of that place again? I'm sorry.
It's called Kismet Mediterranean Grill.
Oh, I like that name.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. So it sounds like there's a lot of exciting new places to go to and some reopenings as well. Yeah. And again, dog creamy places that are friendly. We want to say Redhead and Middlesex. Yes. Cookie Love, you can take your dog there.
Yeah, that's outside.
Outside.
I mean, the one thing about creamy
outside,
places
right?
is
I mean,
they're all
windows.
Outside,
yeah. Bring your pooch, make sure they're on a leash, and you'll be just absolutely fine. Senior food editor at 7 Days, Melissa Passanen, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing your insights on food with us. Really appreciate it.
Now I need to go get a creamy.
Yeah, and have fun with Mojo and give him a hug and a pat on the head for me, will you?
I will. I
appreciate
you.
That. That's it for the show today. As always, you can weigh in on our show or pitch us ideas by emailing vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. And you can also find Vermont Public on Instagram. Today's show was directed by Liz Fullerton. Our show is produced by Andrea Lorien and Daniela Fierro. Our call screener today was Rick Barrett, and our theme music was composed by Myra Flynn. I'm Mitch Wertlieb in for Michaela Lefrak. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope we'll catch up again soon.